most important issues of the day. This is the Rick Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick at thericksmithshow.com. So lots of stuff going on today, and here to share some thoughts on all of the big news, Bob Ney, Talk Media News. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you, Rick.
So big news coming out of the Supreme Court. Maybe some of the I'll be the first one to say I'm shocked with Kavanaugh and the Planned Parenthood thing.
Well, you know, on this one, I read a conservative blog today which talked about the traitor, which was Kavanaugh. But you know, when you look back at this case, forgetting the controversy that happened, when you look back at it, the conservative movement, Rick, always promoted, her last name was Barrett. Was it Amy Barrett, if my memory serves me right?
Yeah, I think so.
But anyway, they promoted her. That's who they wanted. Kavanaugh had always been, quote, weak on abortion issues because he wrote a lower court opinion at one point in time that said that Roe versus Wade was the law of the land. So there was always this suspicion of him. Now, ironically, this whole women's issue came up with him and everything. But I don't believe he did this as a, you know, I'm really good with women. I think he did it because he's, quote, liberal when it came to that issue, you know. And the Planned Parenthood is something that still baffles me in the sense that, and I know there's a congressman in Tennessee, Republican, that's getting heat because he is a Right to Life endorsed candidate, but he believes in Planned Parenthood because these monies they're talking about there, you know, the states were trying to deny.
Right.
Those monies are not used for abortion.
Yeah, but, you know, Planned Parenthood's just been, you know, stained the whole way. And I've said this before. I said, you know, what the right's trying to do to Planned Parenthood is what they got away with Acorn, where they, you know, they took something very, very small, they blew it massively out of proportion in the hopes that they would just take down the whole organization. Because, you know, I think the statistic I read is about 3% of what Planned Parenthood does is abortions. Most of it is, you know, family planning. Most of it is, you know, checkups and screenings and contraception and, you know, all of those things. You know, all things that the right seems to be opposed to as well. But I'm still a little shocked.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, this was a major decision. I mean, it's a major, win for Planned Parenthood because obviously, you know, that means that the cases where the states are trying to interfere won't hold.
So just so we're clear on this, at the end of the day, the ability of states to withhold funding for Planned Parenthood and the programs that help people, that's not the law now.
Right. So by the Supreme Court today saying it won't hear the case involving the funding for Planned Parenthood, because several lower courts have said that Medicaid recipients can challenge their state government's efforts to cut off their funding under Medicaid. So the Supreme Court leaves that, by not doing anything, leaves it all in place.
Oh, that is
so good. They'll be okay on their challenge to that for the states.
Now, I'm sure they'll find another way to go after it, but for now, they live to fight on another day. Let's move along. James Comey back in the news, I see. evidently, you know, said Democrats have to win in 2020.
Well, you know, it's just like one of these things. I still, you know, hold to the fact, and I said this at the time, and friends of mine got mad at me. I mean, it's like I'm supposed to take a position instead of analyze things. But at the time that Comey cleared Hillary Clinton, which he didn't in a sense, you know, he cleared her and then trashed her. You know, you normally clear or you don't clear.
Right.
But he cleared her and then proceeded to trash her, then brought up the interference in the election close to the election, the entire, you know, laptop issue with her, Uma Abedin's husband, Anthony Weiner, and things, and then cleared that a day before the election, I think it was, or two. So, you know, Comey, in a sense, kind of has the wrath of both sides. So, I mean, I'm just not so sure that, you know, you'd want to put him on a TV commercial anyway. But, you know, obviously his opinion he's going to be against, you know, obviously against Trump. I think he had an interesting warning, though, which I found fascinating, because he said, you know, they have important debates who the candidate should be, but they have to win. They have to win. And so, you know, they're talking about, I guess, you know, who will run against Donald Trump having a candidate.
Yeah, you know, one of the, you know, 5,000 people who are throwing their hat in the ring right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the other thing, you know, Ellen and I were the only people out of our entire news service that said Donald Trump was going to win. I mean, people gave official odds of 10% he could win and things. And my friends, you know, again, are appalled when they say, well, what do you think about the next election? I said, if there's not a good candidate, don't necessarily hold your breath.
Right.
You have to have a good candidate, or people become disgusted with both of them. Then it's like, who you're more disgusted with.
Yeah, and then you get into that, well, it's the lesser of two evils, so I'm not going to vote, or, you know, then you get into the whole, I'm going to vote, protest vote, and you're right. I mean, they're going to have to come up with a good candidate, and,
right.
And I'm hoping it's not Hillary. Please.
No, I don't think so. I would be shocked.
I know there's the balloons out there, you know, throwing her name around, and no, we can, we need to move along. Mm-hmm. But I did find it interesting that Comey said that he didn't want to see Trump impeached.
Yes, he did. He said because, I'm trying to remember what he said.
He said it would let the country off the hook.
Yeah, oh, because they voted for him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the entire country didn't vote for him, but you know, a good sizable portion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right.
I saw that and I'm going, well, does that mean we have to suffer? Because look, I don't want him impeached either. And I've said that, you know, on an inauguration day. Look, my greatest fear is Mike Pence in the White House.
You know, a new fresh face. You know, and speaking of the impeachment, I think the most telling comment after Friday of everything was Jerry Nadler, the congressman from New York. I served with Mr. Nadler. And, you know, he's the incoming House Judiciary Committee chair.
Right.
And I thought he gave a fascinating statement yesterday. He was on, you know, State of the Union, and he said that the president was at the center of a massive fraud, several massive frauds against the American people. Then he talked about getting to the bottom of it. And then Congressman Nadler said what was detailed in the Cohen filings amounts to, quote, impeachable offenses. Then his next statement, Rick, was whether they are important enough justify impeachment is a different question.
So either they are or they aren't. I mean,
you know, he's the chair of the Judiciary Committee. Now, I understand, you know, because I was in Congress and I can translate congressional speak, all right?
Okay.
And I understand this is what he's saying. He's not saying does it rise to the level of impeachment, because his statement is these are impeachable, so therefore it does rise to the level. But is it important enough to justify an impeachment? Because if there's going to be an impeachment from, you know, when it starts because of these filings with a new speaker, Nancy Pelosi, in the Democratic-controlled House, they have to be prepared to go all in. Because when the impeachment of Clinton came up, the average office was receiving 38,000 phone calls and contacts and constituents, et cetera, et cetera. It creates a vacuum, and I think what he's saying is if it sacrifices the agenda of what the Democratic side wants to do in the House this upcoming year, then you have to decide if it's worth it or not.
Yeah, I mean, because everything else stops. And then you also, on the other side of this, I mean, you're going to have a backlash, you know, because, you know, a lot of the stuff, and this is the fascinating thing to me, you know, because I've had, you know, this past weekend especially, I went back home to visit family in Cleveland, who, you know, a good number of them are the basket of deplorables, and they're the Trump crowd. And like you, you know, I had predicted Trump was going to win as well, because, you know, I went back when my grandmother passed in April of 16, and I, you know, when we were back for the funeral, you know, meeting all the family, you know, what you have to do, it was apparent to me that something had triggered, you know, most of these people who had never voted in their lives were registering just to vote for him. So I was going, you know, this is not good. But, you know, I don't think anything would matter to them whatsoever what he did. I mean, because I brought up the Russian thing. I go, well, what if he, you know, what if it's proven that he did collude with the Russians to get dirt on Hillary, to be able to, you know, to do all of the things? What if it is actually true? Would it change your mind? And they were universally saying, no, don't care. You know, what if, you know, he was, you know, he's making tons of money and violating the law under the Emoluments Clause. Don't care. He's a businessman. He's got to run his business. You know, it just doesn't. What happened? You know, what if it's true that, you know, he paid off the porn stars, which it is. You know, don't care. You know, he's doing what he said he was going to do. And we're in this weird kind of world where, you know, there's a segment of this population who doesn't care what he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and get away with it.
Yeah, he was right on that statement at that time. Well, I knew the world had changed when several things happened. You know, when, you know, you turn around in a debate and you say that one of your female opponents look at that face, or when you talk about the particular size of a body part in a debate. I mean, you start to look at that and you're like, okay, nothing really matters of what's said anymore. But I think there was just such a disillusionment by a vast amount of American people in either direction. There was so much, you know, everything was subject to disgust in a sense by people.
And, yeah, it was an ugly campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And, sure. I keep saying, you know, Hillary ran a bad campaign. You know, she didn't make the case, you know, and the idea that I'm not him wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
In a place like Pennsylvania,
right.
It's just
right.
Just interesting. We'll see what happens. I mean, I'm watching, you know, people in and out of the race already. I mean, I found out Deval Patrick pulled his name out. I didn't even know he was in. So
I didn't know.
So there you go.
Now I know Cory Booker was in, or is on his way. I did a station today in New Hampshire, and I think he's got something going on over there.
Yeah, I don't know that Booker. I don't know that Booker can do. I don't know. I see lots of problems there. And my big problem with Booker, obviously, is the charter school stuff. I can't vote for a Democrat with the charter school stink all over them. Just can't do it.
How do they get into that? It's like private prisons.
But it's the money. And look, you know, it's that drowning man grabbing the anchor thing. You've got districts that are failing badly. You know, you look at Trenton, you look at Newark, you look at these districts. You know, I go back to Cleveland. You know, you look at places that are struggling mightily, and you're looking for that silver bullet, and you're going, hey, you know, this silver bullet could solve our problems, and they never do.
Yeah, it's like private prisons.
Exactly.
Horrible, horrible idea.
Just terrible, terrible stuff. And finally, John Kelly. I guess end of the month. I guess our Christmas president, he's gone at the end of the month?
He's gone, and I thought one of the funny points was when the White House let it leak, okay, they're going to pick Nick Ayers. They're going to pick him.
Right.
He's the guy. And then, of course, Sunday he said, I'm not the guy. I'm not going to do it. And look, Ayers is what we call in politics, and we refer to a D or an R, as the golden child, right?
Right.
He's wealthy. He's 34. He's a Southern gentleman. He has triplets. I mean, you know, it doesn't stop, right? And he works for Pence, and he's going to go run a mega super PAC, you know, deal. And why would he go as chief of staff of the White House? Now, you and I both know at some point in time, years back, not too long ago, if somebody offered somebody to be chief of staff at the White House, you did cartwheels or you offered to cut off one of your hands, you know.
Yeah, you gave not only your firstborn male child, but you gave them all away.
Right, right. And today that's not the case.
Well,
I think Kelly was good. I really think Kelly was good for the office.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how bad the next person's going to be. But I look at this guy as being smart enough to realize that he would be entering into just absolute chaos. Because whoever is dumb enough to say yes... is going to have nothing but headaches and nightmares for the next 2 years of trying to keep, you know, Trump from not being indicted, impeached, whatever. And, you know, as the stories are going right now, you know, Trump's trying to figure out how to move from legislative to political because he knows they're going to get slammed over the next year, at least in the next year, over all of the investigations and the stuff that we both know is coming.
Well, you just said it, Rick, because he finally realized that, look, one of the things I sort of liked about Trump, and I think a lot of people did, was when he said, okay, you know, I'm not going to have all the air-blowed, dried politics and, you know, but I thought when he got into the White House, I honestly thought, okay, he says that, but he's going to pick seasoned people because he's got Pence in there, who was a congressman,
right,
who ran an office. And I thought they're going to pick seasoned people, and he didn't do it.
Yeah.
Or the seasoned people he picked, he booted them.
And I actually thought that, you know, once he took the office, that mm-hmm. he would come somewhere to sanity and go, okay, well, you know, we've got this agenda we want to move through, and let's get the stuff that we can get really, you know. So I thought infrastructure was the first place they would have gone because it could have united the country around, hey, let's all get this done together. Had he gone that route, I think a lot of this impeachment stuff, a lot of the Russia stuff would have just rolled off his back.
Well, if he'd have kept all so quiet about it.
Yeah.
And if it
was
just, yeah, started infrastructure. Look, I was on the transportation committee. Talk about a kumbaya love fest. Oh, transportation bills are wonderful. Wonderful.
Or they used to be. I mean, that's the thing that gets me. I mean, I don't know. Look, you know, I know that we like to frame Republicans as, you know, fiscal conservatives and, you know, the people who, you know, grab the quarter and squeeze it until the eagle screams. But they're not. They're just as spendthrift as you know,
sure,
the tax and spend liberals. The difference mm-hmm. is conservatives are borrow and spend, and, you know, liberals are tax and spend.
Mm-hmm.
They still want to spend. And you go, okay, take your propensity for spending and spend it on stuff that's going to make us better.
Sure. Transportation.
Yep. It's crazy. But I can't imagine anybody who would want to say yes to this job, but it'll be interesting to see who's dumb enough to say yes.
It will.
Any suggestions?
Oh, by the way,
any thoughts?
Oh, no. I hear Mulvaney, but I don't know. Meadows won't take it. He won't quit the Congress, you know. But I don't know. I don't know who will take it. It's hard to say.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I know I wouldn't do it. There's a resume
mm-hmm.
killer.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Bob, good stuff, man. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you. Okay, thanks.
All right, Bob Ney, Talk Media News. I mean, seriously, I mean, it is... It's a resume killer if you're dumb enough to say, yep, I'll do it. Yeah, you're walking into a meat grinder to start, you know, on a good day. And then, like I said, with all of the hearings that are coming up, all of the cabinet secretaries are going to be grilled. All of the information that, you know, the Democrats in Congress are now going to, hey, you had no oversight for 2 years. It's time for somebody to start, you know, looking under the covers and finding out just how bad things have been. And look, I'm the first one to say it's what I want. I want to know how bad the kleptocracy has been to this point. I want to know how much they've stolen from us, how many laws they've broken, how many, you know, corners they've not only, you know, cut but destroyed. It's time. It's absolutely time. Love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. For working people, coming to talk.